Luke chapter number 2, I want to read. We had dealt with some of this in our Sunday school time. Luke chapter number 2, and I want to begin in verse number 7. Luke chapter number 2, verse 7, and just read a little ways here this morning. This wonderful Christmas story. In verse number 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Wow. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You. They have the wonderful privilege to think about, to discuss, to meditate upon the coming of our Savior to this world. And Lord, as that song so aptly said, it wasn't just to be born, but to live and to die upon a cruel cross that we might be saved. Lord God, I pray that You would work in hearts this morning. I pray that we might see the need of our soul. We might receive the grace of God that meets that need. Bless in every heart. Give us listening ear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I wonder this morning, is anybody here 19 years of age? Anybody 19 years of age? Put your hand down, Dallas. You're 19 plus. We got one. Marissa, you're it. We got one up here. You're 19 years of age. Anybody else? Dom, you're nowhere near it. Sarah? Oh, friend. Did you have your hand up? Okay, I got three. I was 19 years of age when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was about 16 years ago. And the truth of the coming of Christ began to make sense to me. To realize that Christmas was not about getting presents. It was about God giving a son. What a blessed privilege it is ours to have Him. We find from this particular text that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a beautiful picture that I hope can go into your mind. These pictures, I believe, were signs to not only the shepherds, but to unbelieving Jews. They are that which give to us a realization of a Savior who came. I believe that as we look here, we can find some great and wonderful truth in the signs that He said in verse number 12. Notice what it says again. "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want us to look at this morning these two signs that were held as confirmation to the shepherds. When God gave them this message, they were sore afraid. He said, I don't want you to fear, but I want you to understand that when you go to Bethlehem, you go to this place, you will find the babe, and it'll be easy to find. It'll be at the manger. It won't be in the inn. They didn't know why, but there was no room for Him there. Isn't that the truth today? There's so little room for Christ in our lives. But you'll find Him in a manger. I believe that that manger illustrates to you and I some truth. I believe that it tells you and I that, first of all, Jesus came as the Lamb of God. As lambs were born into the world, and in this particular manger that was used for this purpose, thus God had prepared the way for Mary to get to this location from 75 miles away, be 9 months pregnant, and not be able to get into a decent place, but the innkeeper to say, well, you can go out to the barn. And there she had her baby that night. He's the Lamb of the world. Do you see what's so important about that? In the Old Testament, we find that God told the Jew that on the day of the Passover, they were to take a lamb, find one that was without blemish, without spot. They were to kill that lamb. They were to take the blood from that lamb. They were to apply it to the doorpost of their house. He said that when you apply that blood to the doorpost, you put it on two sides, put it on the top. He says when the death angel comes, and he will come, he will see that blood on your house, and there will not be any death in that house. He said every house in the land of Egypt that has not the blood, the firstborn in every house will die that night. Not only of the sheep, not only of the cattle, but also of the sons. They will die that night. The death angel came, and every son that was firstborn died in the land of Egypt, except where the blood had been applied. Notice what I said. Not only did the lamb have to die, but the blood had to be applied. The Lord Jesus Christ not only dies for you and I, but that blood needs to be applied. That blood can only be applied as you and I receive it unto ourselves, as we believe. As that Jew believed what God said and killed that lamb, took that hyssop and like a torch dipped it into the blood of that lamb and placed it upon that doorpost, believing what God said, you and I must simply believe what God said about His Son. For God what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who is His Son? John the Baptist declared, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And so here in this particular barn, this Lamb of God was born. By the way, these lambs in this barn were raised primarily to be used as the sacrifice in the temple later, as people from outlying areas would come and buy the lambs that they might sacrifice them. And thus Jesus, the Lamb of the world, born in a barn. I think of the manger not only as a birthing place, but I also think of it as a feeding trough for animals. A place where, as they were in protected place, would be able to partake. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ not only as the one who brought to you and I eternal life, but He's also the bread of life. That you and I may have sustenance for our soul that we might go forward in this life. There is a problem, however. It's like the inn that is full. It is like you and I who need the rest that can only come in that place. Until we realize that this old world can't satisfy us, we will never search out the manger. Until we recognize that the ends of this world, that those places that seem to be comfortable from the world's standpoint are not really the provision we need, we will not search out the manger and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do that job in our lives. I'm thankful at the age of 19, God put that into my heart. It was through a lot of circumstances. Basically, I could say this, I felt empty inside. There was something missing in my life. Matter of fact, it was more than something. It was a great deal. It was life itself. But there's a manger. It's a sign. What's a sign? It's a place of rest. It's a place where the Lamb was born, that you and I might behold Him and that you and I might receive what He later did as He died upon the cross of Calvary. As a lamb is led to the slaughter, so our Lord Jesus Christ was led there with my sins placed upon His back. But not only do we find that there was the manger, but notice there, He was wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. There are a few, but most mothers are very good mothers. There's a few that could care less about their children. There's a few that would rather not have them. But most mothers, they care for their children. Most mothers would give everything they have. They will try to make that child comfortable. They will try to take care of it. In sickness, they worry. In health, they play. And here's a mother that, though He was born in a barn, we find she wrapped Him in what? Swaddling clothes. Now, these swaddling clothes were basically strips of cloth. And as they would wrap that child, it would somewhat restrict their leg and arm movement. It would be wrapped around their torso. And if you've ever laid in straw, you would understand that the body of that baby would need a little protection. Though it might be soft, it's prickly. And she wrapped Him up in those swaddling clothes. It would provide the extra warmth that that child would need in what most likely would be a colder environment than it would be on the inside where a fire might be built. And so here in these very crude situation, this mother wraps her child in these... Oh, did I forget to tell you? They were also used as grave clothes. You remember Lazarus? As he was bound with grave clothes? It was those same kinds of strips of cloth that they would wrap around that body as they would lay it like a mummy into the tomb. And what do we find with those grave clothes, but also a sign that Jesus Christ came to do what? To die for our sins. He came to die. Isn't it interesting that God said to the shepherds, I want you to go and to see this sight. I want you to understand in that manger you will find that babe. You will find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Shepherds, humble men, men who were not necessarily greatly respected in their community as the leading kinds of people. And so here are these shepherds. They are going to see the Lamb of God who would grow up to become, as Jesus described Himself, the shepherd. Oh, think about it. He becomes a shepherd. Do you know what the Bible describes a shepherd as? One who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The Lamb of God, who was born that day and wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in that manger that those shepherds might see Him, later grew up to be the shepherd of the world. And as the shepherd, He was willing to lay down His life for you and for me. God didn't reveal that to the bankers. God didn't reveal that to the businessman. He didn't reveal that to royalty. He revealed that to shepherds because they would understand. You know, throughout the ages, it's normally been the poor people. It's normally been those of us who really have no great place in society that God has offered us that wonderful message of hope. He came to this world. And He was born in a very lowly place. To help us to understand that no matter how we are born, He understands. No matter what circumstances we might be in, He has been there Himself. Raised, by the way, in a carpenter's home. Today we might think of a carpenter's having a little bit more prestige than they had in those days. But carpenters were very looked down upon in those days. It was a lowly trade. And yet He was raised in these conditions that He might come forth and die the most horrible death man has ever known. I've been told by those who are experts that man has never devised a more cruel death than hanging on a cross. Normally it would take 3 to 4 days for a man to die upon the cross. They would normally bind their hands and their feet, and as they hung upon that cross extended, their joints would all become displaced. And in order for them to even breathe, they would have to use their strength to pull themselves up a little so that they might take in some air. And so for 3 and sometimes 4 days, they would struggle there upon that cross with the crowds below jeering them and taunting them. Remember the Lord Jesus died the first day? Remember what they did? Because the crowds and the soldiers didn't stay out there overnight, they would allow those prisoners who hung there to be taken off the cross at night. But so they wouldn't crawl away, they would break their legs so that they might find them the next day and put them back up there. But our Lord Jesus Christ had more than the cross. He had the cat o' nine tails during the night as they whipped Him. It was a whip that embedded within it to be rocks and glass-like substances and thorns. And as they would rake that across His back, most likely He was completely flayed open. It was that same back that was thrown up against that old rugged cross. And as He would try to get breath, those splinters would enter into His body. There was the crown that was placed on His head, shoved down most likely by the leathern gloves of a Roman soldier. And the blood began to trickle down His face. And after those torments, walked through the streets of Jerusalem to be taken to the cross. They did not bind His hands, as you well know. Those soldiers that day took spikes. And remarkably, because the Bible said, not a bone of Him shall be broken, the hand which contains and the feet which contains over half the bones of the body, those spikes were driven, and still not a bone of Him broken. But there He hung. Can you imagine what it was like as they raised that cross and it dropped into that hole? But our Savior did that to help us understand the most cruel of all deaths. For a man like the Apostle Paul who said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But who also knew the wonderful grace of God. You see, Jesus came, as the song said, as the Bible says, He came not to just be a babe in a manger, but to be the Savior upon the cross of Calvary. They might die there for our sins. You say, die for our sins, what do you mean? Well, the Bible makes it very plain when it says that the wages of sin is death. Go with me clear back to the Garden of Eden. And when God created Adam and Eve, He said to them that they should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you realize that God said, you can do anything else? I have one rule. But you know, we're like Adam. Give us one rule, we'll break it. And they broke it. God said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now I want to give you another picture. They ate of the fruit. Lisa, they didn't die that day. They were separated from God. But they didn't die that day. You know why? Because there was a lamb that was slain that day that died for them. And that wool was taken from their bodies and placed about the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And they were covered. It's a picture of God's covering over of our sin. It's hid. Somebody said, where did he hide it at? As far as the east is from the west. The Bible describes it deeper than the deepest sea. A man ridiculed a little girl one day when she said, God hid my sins. And he said, well, behind his back. And because God says he hid it behind his back. He said, what if God turns around? She said, I want you to know, when God turns around, his back goes with him. There's something God can do that I don't understand. He can forget my sins. Wow. He can forget them. How's it all happened? Because it's that lamb that was born in that stable, laid in that manger, wrapped in those swaddling clothes. Because he grew up as the Lamb of God and was taken to the cross of Calvary. And there he died for me. You see, Isaiah chapter 3 makes it very clear that my sin was laid upon him. When he died, he didn't die for his sin. He died for mine. He had no sin to die for. And thus, his righteousness is laid upon me when I will believe it. You say, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, it is. But most people run from it. Most people run from it. You know why? Because we love our sin. We don't want God to take it away. Matter of fact, we don't even want to be reminded of it or told about it. But the beautiful thing is, God wants to remove it. There's a song we sing, what can wash away my sins? It's not the baptismal, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's through that you and I, His life being given for you and me, that we might have everlasting life. It's His gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a gift awaiting for you. Many in this room have received that gift. Some been many years ago like me. Some have been very recent. But you need to receive that gift. If that's never been done in your life, you need to. You need to say, yes, Lord, I believe you. I will accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe it. That's all? That's not of works. Yeah. There's not a one of us here can boast and say, I'm going to heaven because I'm so good. Yeah, we'll talk to your wife or your husband or your children or your dad. Yeah. I knocked on a door one time and I said, lady, you need to accept Christ, your Savior. She says, I've never sinned. I said, oh, really? She said, no, I've never done anything wrong. I said, can I talk to your husband? You know what she did? I haven't had this happen too many times, but she slammed the door in my face. You know what she just did? She exhibited anger and proved what I was saying. You need a Savior today. Because you're a sinner, you need the Savior. And He's available. Amen? We're going to do something right now. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to do something in your heart and life. And if you've never received the Savior, you've never received that gift, after we get done praying, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Emily here, she's going to start playing the piano. And while she's playing, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you've never received that gift, why don't you come down here and tell me and say, "Preacher, I'm ready to. I need that gift. I need Him. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need to have it washed away. I need what He did for me upon the cross of Calvary." It's yours if you'll receive it. And I'd love to be able to show you, help you, just to cry out to God that you might do that today. You know, really, you can walk out of here knowing that if you died right now, you'd not go to hell, but go to heaven. Just like that. Destination can be changed. Wow. That happened to you a while back, didn't it? Huh? Sure did. Happened to you not too awful long ago, too, didn't it? In fact, she thought she had done that, but realized, I didn't really mean business with God. Let's pray. Father, thank You today. Oh, we thank You that You so loved us, You gave us Your Son. Lord, we thank You that You came the way You did. And the picture that it shows us how, even at Christmas time, You're so much left out, there's no room in our inn. Lord, we run to that same inn trying to find all the satisfaction in the world when we need to go to the manger. Lord, help us to know that, to realize that You came not just for a season, not just for a time that we can celebrate, but that we might realize that You came to die, we might have eternal life. And Lord, we're thankful today that You didn't just die, but You were buried and rose again, that You might escort us in the very presence of God. Lord, bless and work in hearts and lives. Lord, if there's one here today, I'm sure there is, that knows You not as Savior, oh God, give them the courage. Bring the conviction upon their soul, the need of their life, that they might come and receive You. Work in each of our hearts. Perhaps there's other needs here that need to be met. Oh God, do that in our lives this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.